And now, it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. No! Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, when a band of bounty hunters leads Anakin and Mace into a deadly trap on Vancor, it's up to R2-D2 to battle his way back to Coruscant and warn the Jedi. There'll be Mace and Anakin trapped, bounty hunters being bitchy babies, and R2 being a dick. We're talking about R2 Come Home this week. How are you doing, Chris?
Good.
I didn't realize how many B sounds I typed in that. Bounties being bitchy babies.
I thought this was going to be like Snoopy Come Home, but it wasn't at all.
You know, there's an episode like much later in the season where R2 in the C-3PO, it's like I think season 4 or something like that, and they literally like start planet hopping trying to get home. And so for some reason, I thought this was that episode, but I was really confused because I was like, but C-3PO's not in this episode. And then I was like, oh, it's this episode. Because he's not actually trying to come home anywhere. Unless Anakin is his home.
Come home to Anakin.
I was half expecting like him just to like run into Padme's house and Padme be like, okay, well, I'll go get the Jedi then. That would have been funny.
That would have been funny.
So you got a good week?
Yeah, so far so good.
That's good. I was just telling listeners, I was just telling Chris about how smoky it's been here. And if you live in Georgia, South Carolina, or North Carolina at certain points, you know what I'm talking about, because we have these bitchin'-ass wildfires going crazy and trying to kill all of us. Bitchy wildfires. And we found out some dicks started them, too, so thanks, dicks.
Nice.
I know.
Now, did they start them, like, on purpose, or was it like somebody tossed a cigarette out their car, or was camping?
They're saying, like, how fast they are and how big they are and how they just kind of appeared out of nowhere, they do think it was arsonist.
Awesome.
I know. Way to be
classy.
Classy. If I find you guys, I'm going to rub my cat in your face because she smells like a campfire. Rub a kitty all up.
Campfire kitty.
I know. And she, her little meow. Because usually, I already told Chris all this, and I'm just telling you guys. Her little meow is like, meow. But now she's like, right now she's just like, eh.
Yeah,
like, I'm not even kidding. She looked at me today, and she was like, hey, mommy, eh. And I was like, oh, God.
You guys are getting smoked like the little piggies at my work.
I was literally thinking today how much I really want to have some pigs in a blanket. Do you guys sell pigs in a blanket, like homemade sausages wrapped up in bread?
Yes, we've not really as part of our menu, but we've done it as catering, and it's usually like sausage, like chorizo sausage, or some sort of spicy Italian sausage wrapped in a puff pastry type of deal, you know?
I actually just half expect you to be like, yes, Hope, they're called hot dogs.
We do have hot dogs there.
Oh, man, now I want some pigs in a blanket. Oh, I guess I should get... We should focus on the episode and before I get hungry. So, you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
You always sound so excited. Like, oh, yes.
Well, do you want me to be like, yeah, whatever, man.
That's true.
Just get it over with.
There will be probably a couple episodes that I will be like that. And they're pretty much this, like, one story arc in season 4, which I'm just not looking forward to. I think that actually comes up in our feedback this week, too.
Oh.
So, yes. Okay. R2 Comes Home is the 43rd episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars, and it aired on April 30th, 2010. It was written by Yogan Mahoney, with Brian Larson as a staff writer and Drewzy Greenberg as the supervising writer. It was directed by Juan Carlo Volpe, and it was the first part of a doubleheader that aired that night. That's not to say it was a two-parter, but it really was. Robin Atkins Downs, who's the voice of Cassis in this episode, was also the voice of Sham Syndulla. And in the episode Featurette, Dave Filoni says, "You want an icon for Star Wars? You have your Vader. You use R2. It's great to make R2 the hero. I think he sits right up there with Lassie. I've always said that R2 is like the family dog. That's how you treat him. That's how you write him. He just has a couple more gadgets than your local Fido." R2 Come Home is really about his personality, his character, and his relationship with Anakin, and how Mace doesn't understand that relationship. R2 was actively screwing up these bounty hunters, attacking them to get Mace and Anakin, pulling out the big sheet of metal and dropping it on them. He's shutting doors. He even drops a bunch of boxes and a grenade on them. I mean, R2. He plays for keeps when he's protecting Anakin. Good dog. Really, this whole episode is in some way about dogs. I mean, we get the wolf pack back in there again with Commander Wolf. R2 is basically Lassie. Jimmy's stuck in the well. R2, Mace, and Anakin are stuck in the well. First, R2 takes getting help very literally because he goes all the way back to Coruscant to get help. But at the end, after R2's gone through everything, Mace actually says, "Good job," which is huge for him. It's huge for him.
Yeah, the blanket's dried off for a second.
It's
just a damp blanket.
You know, even in the next episode, and when we actually get there, because, you know, our listeners, it won't affect you guys any, but we're recording two episodes tonight. Anyway, I was talking about that, how, like, Mace has been, like, pretty chill for, like, last week and kind of this week, just actually, and, like, during the Zillow Beast, and at the end of the next episode, he pretty much just, like, super soaks a wet blanket and just throws it at Boba. It's like, womp. I was just like, damn, that's cold.
Yeah.
But we'll get there
cold
next
week.
Cold and wet. We will get there next week. We know who we have this week.
Yeah, we got there this week. We got there last week, and boy, I'm glad we got away from there last week. Last week was one of the most traumatic.
Oh, yeah, it was the death one. Oh,
yeah,
let's just keep
let's just keep marching past that one and...
Yeah, you know, I forgot.
I'm coughing like there's a forest fire.
Maybe it's coming through the internet from our house. Here, please take it all with you.
Maybe. That's the newest.
I would like to go jogging while the weather is still warm, but
I know
it's not going to happen.
I know Skype translates now. Maybe it's Mellovision now. That would be one of the last things that you would actually want to translate with the internet is transmitting smells through.
Oh, that'd be nasty. I don't think I ever won Smell-O-Vision. Unless it was, like, the Food Network. That's the only exception.
Yeah, that's it. It would just enable it for Food Network, and that's it for cooking videos and stuff like that. Except people would Rickroll troll you, and you'd go to, like, be like, "Oh, look at it's cinnamon buns cooking," and then you'd hit it, and it'd be, like, rancid butthole or something like that. Never gonna give you up. Never gonna let you down.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah, the internet is... Humanity is not evolved enough for internet smell-o-vision. Anyway.
No, I don't think it will ever be there, but you know who we want to smell this week?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine smell... What does Yoda smell like? What do you smell like, Yoda?
Like frog and
olive oil?
No. I'm trying to remember his pup. Oh,
like frog and Frank Oz wrist sweat.
Oh.
Mmm.
And a little bit of petroleum jelly.
Yeah, a little bit. Well, this one might be a good comment on last week's. All right, enough about last week's.
Mmm.
Does it still scarred you to this week?
Yoda, never be the same.
Oh, we mellowed out Yoda finally.
Adversity is a friendship's truest test. In bed.
guess.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of... adversity in bed is... I don't know. I'm kind of on the fence. This one works for the episode, but it doesn't work for our...
No, it does not work with our for our platitude edition.
Oh, well, sorry, guys. We tried.
That's okay. They got their money's worth last week.
Yeah, just go back and, like, listen to the last week one for, like, a month, and you'll be good. We won't have platitudes all during our prequel rewatch.
No, we got one more platitude, and then you guys got, like...
A month off. Yoda's going on vacation for Christmas.
Yeah.
Aww.
He's going to be soaking in some hot spring somewhere.
Doing a seaweed wrapped on Dagobah.
Yeah. Every day's a seaweed wrap in Dagobah.
Yes. All right. So let me scroll down. Scrolly, scrolly, scrolly down the street. Scrolling my way downtown, walking fast, faces pass, and I'm homebound. All right, act one. To recap from last week, Boba Fett snuck onto a Republic cruiser to kill Mace Windu. He didn't kill Mace Windu, and there's an Irish-sounding admiral named Killian who went down with the cruiser. Now that we're all caught up, Wet Blanket Windu and Anakin are searching for Killian and the survivors with a Republic rescue ship. On the ground, Anakin listens to R2's negative feelings about the crash site, and Windu is like, "This isn't Bicentennial Man! This isn't iRobot! This isn't the Matrix! Droids don't have feelings!" And this hurts R2's feelings. Lurking in the shadows are gargoyle wolf gremlin things with bat ears! They have bat ears! R2 senses the creatures and is like, "Holy shit, did you guys feel that?" And Mace is like, "I'm a Jedi with Force feelings, and I didn't feel anything, you cold, godless machine." The creatures start to follow. Anakin points out that Killian would have had three officers with him. Mace is like, "My clone Boo Commander Pons was there too! He is my Rex!" And they find a dead clone, but realize he didn't die in the crash. Someone shot and executed him. Bum bum bum. Mace says that the assassin from the previous episode, which is Boba Fett for you guys, was after him. He concludes that with, "They're after my Samuel L. Jackson impression. We must find Killian before any more lives are lost." The guys head up to the bridge while R2 and his gal pal R8 continue looking for survivors. They find more dead troopers, but they don't see Admiral Killian or Commander Pons. They tell the rescue ship to head back to the medical station because they don't find anyone else alive. The rescue ship leaves. Down below, the creatures attack R8! R2 tries to save his friend, but gets swatted away to watch his friend get destroyed. Rest in pieces, R8. We literally barely knew you. Anakin finds a Mandalorian helmet resting by the window. Windu is like, "Mandalorian! Jango Fett! I killed him! That means one thing! Wait for a dramatic effect. Boba Fett!" Windu force rips Anakin away from the helmet as it explodes. The beasts are scared by the blast and run away. Watching from a distance are Boba Fett, Bosk, a new guy named Castus, and actual evil queen Aura Sing. Boba wants to go make sure Windu is dead. Not like a little dead, like dead dead. What'd you think of Act 1, Chris?
Oh, Gundarks. They're Gundarks.
I didn't know what they were until later in the episode. I was like, "Oh, Gundarks." So I was just like, "Bat creatures with rings, but not wings, the gargoyles." They kind of reminded me of gremlins.
Yeah, R2 shouldn't even save these guys after that first wet blanketing. And then, like, you see R2, plainly Anakin speaks the language of R2.
Yeah.
Because R2 says, "Blah, blah, 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 blah," and he says, "Oh, yeah, I have a bad feeling about this, too." So they're talking to each other. So then when the Gundarks are running by and R2's, like, you know, catching a glimpse of them, why can't he just say to Anakin, "Hey, man, there's something running back there that's stalking us right now"?
I was more wondering, like, how are these Jedis not sensing other life forms? Because they're looking for other life forms. Wouldn't they be already using their Force senses looking for life forms?
Like, yeah, these Jedi... of the prequels are very weird in their huge amounts of powers, yet incredible lack of powers, you know?
It's like the genie from Aladdin, like, all the powers of the cosmos, itty-bitty living space.
They have... It seems like their Jedi powers are more in the physical realm of like, psychokinetic rather than, you know... feeling other creatures, sensing emotions, you know. Although they do stuff like that, it seems like their focus is like, hold the ship in place. You know, let's jump 500 feet and stuff like that. And I don't know if that was on purpose. I'm guessing it probably was. I'm sure there had to have been lots of talk about how the Jedi, you know, were functioning and what their powers were. So it might be part of, you know, the downfall of the Jedi, that they're not in tune with the living force, which we'll be hearing about in episode one when we do that.
Yeah, because, like, with the original trilogy, like, Vader could be, like, in the same solar system as Luke, like, 12 planets away, and Luke would be like, oh, I feel something.
They're related, too, so...
Yeah, and like we know from Shattered Empire, which is one of the comics, like Leia walked into the hangar that Qui-Gon and Darth Maul fought in, and she just stopped automatically, and she could still feel Maul's presence, and she was like, "I'm cold." Like she's not even trained, and she could sense it.
Well, there were probably some of her mom's vibes there too.
Yeah, like, she was just like, I'm cold. And they have this great picture of, like, Maul's face, like imposed on top of her.
Superimposed, yeah.
Yeah, it was really, really cool. That was such a good comic. Do you want to know what I'm not fucking excited for? A fucking Darth Maul miniseries comic coming.
Why not?
Okay, so I like Darth Maul.
I saw that article. I haven't read it. I saw it, and I'm like, oh, somebody's grumping about the... Darth Maul comic. I don't know. Why wouldn't they want it? And then I'm like, oh, it's Hope.
Me. Okay, so here's my thing. Okay. I like Darth Maul. I don't love Darth Maul. I think he's very overrated. And if this was like pre Rebels or pre Clone Wars, or like even if they gave him more time, like after like Rebels has ended and stuff like that, I'd be fine with it. But right now there is so much Darth Maul shit. We have the Son of Dathomir comics, which are canon. They are canon. They're just out of print because they was under Dark Horse. So they could have, for one, Marvel could get the rights to those and reissue them. Number two, we had Darth Maul all throughout Clone Wars. We have Darth Maul currently in Rebels. And between those two, including an appearance in a December episode, he has 11 appearances already between Clone Wars and Rebels. And, like, he's there. Like, he's currently in. I'm just sitting here going... There are thousands of characters in Star Wars. Can we please take a break from somebody who is currently here and go into that a little bit? Like, what about, like, what's Cad Bane doing right now? What about Pirate Kix? Like, how did Cody survive? Is Cody even still alive? Like, I just want other people. And so it's not that I don't like Darth Maul. It's just there's already Darth Maul. Can we have something else?
He's probably a very popular character, so they're going with it, you know?
I don't care. I don't care. Cause the thing is like, if it was like current Darth Maul in Rebels time, like if it was like how he survived from Clone War, like after Son of Dathomir, where he escaped Palpatine to Rebels, and it was that timeline, that I would totally...
Do you know what timeline it's in?
Yes, it's before episode one, when Palpatine's apprentice. And my thing about that is my fear is it's going to be like Savage Opress's storyline in Clone Wars, where he's training under Dooku.
Right,
and it's going to be Maul training under Palpatine instead of Savage training under Dooku, and I really hope it's not that. Because they've already said that, like, the summary was like, Maul's a great warrior, but he's getting bored with life. So he finds a Jedi Padawan, and he's like, man, I'm gonna go kill this Padawan. That's what the summary was. And I was like, I don't sound interested in Maul going to go kill a child. I don't care. So I just, it was me. I was griping about it. I just want a break from Maul outside of Rebels. I like what they're doing with him in Rebels, and it's just a little bit enough, and it's just enough to tie it back to the Clone Wars, and it's just enough to push Ezra and Kanan. But, like, whenever Maul comes in, we don't see him. Like, he'll be gone for, like, two, three episodes, and then he'll come back. Kind of like Hondo, how we've been talking about Hondo right. And how they pepper him in. I'm okay with that. But I don't want Maul in Rebels. And he was in the Ahsoka novel. He was in the Ahsoka novel that just came out. And I was like, I don't want Maul. Kind of, I just want, like, a break from Maul. It's like when you eat too much, like, mashed potatoes, and then someone's like, let's have baked potatoes. And I'm like, I don't want baked potatoes. I want, like, a salad. Sorry. So what'd you think of Act 1, Chris?
I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm a little pissed at Wet Blanket for being mean to R2. Not being able to sense the monsters, and for saying sucked into space.
Oh,
he said they
yeah.
must have been sucked into space. What kind of space guy are you, Mace Windu? What kind of space guy are you?
The wet kind.
I guess so. Well, he wet blanketed science right there. And I like that we had a red shirt R2. It was even kind of red.
What do you mean? I know what you might mean by red shirt, but what do you mean?
Well, when you have a red shirt on Star Trek, you know that person's going to die when you see two R2 yeah. units rolling out into an alien planet and one of them's R2-D2. Chances are one of them ain't coming back.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened.
That's true. I didn't think about that. For me, what did they call it? Gundarks.
Yes.
The Gundarks actually reminded me of the Fearnox in the season 1 episode, Rebels episode, Out of Darkness, where Hera and Sabine go to get the supplies and they have to fight the shadow creatures.
Uh-huh.
They're just, like, much bulkier and stuff like that, so I like that similarity, because I was just like, yeah, they look like the Fearnox. Or Fearnox. Fearnox. Anyway. I really like the design of the crash ship. We were talking, I think actually last week, about how big and massive these cruisers are, and they're pretty much like a floating city and stuff like that. And so that's what, like, this crash ship actually reminded me of. It reminded me of, like, some city ruins burning.
Well, it's very, very, reminds me of Force Awakens, you know?
Oh, that's seeing, a good, like, one, too!
I'm sure they were playing a little bit on the, beginning of episode 3 where they crash, you know, a big command ship into the city. And, but yeah, it came off as very, I'm sure, you know, of course they had no idea at that point, but it came off as very Force Awakens to me. Or thinking like, yeah, in 20 years, that's going to be really neat looking. It's going to have, you know, sand all blown up onto it and stuff.
Yeah.
It's like in the Force Awakens.
That's true too. But yeah, it actually kind of remember back in Geonosis when they were like, before they went into the tunnels with all the zombie bugs,
uh-huh.
they had that upper part and it was like the ruins.
Right.
It actually kind of reminded me of those ruins if those were on fire.
Yeah, and I like how everybody was like walking on weird angles and, you know.
Yeah, it's not very often you see like a Jedi just like leaning.
Leaning to walk, yeah.
I really like that too. This is probably just my love of clones talking, but it makes me really happy that Windu and Anakin are showing just as much concern for Commander Pons as they do for a human Admiral Killian, because clones are a dime a dozen, and it would be really easy for the show just to focus on Killian, but they're like, that's Commander Pons, we need to make sure we get Commander Pons. Like,
yep.
That really made me happy, because I was like, yeah, Pons!
It's the kind of the running theme of the whole show.
Yeah. We have to care about our clones until they kill us. And then we worry about our clones because they're killing us. So, and then my only other note for Act 1 was, I've said this before, but like how I want to see more stories about other Jedi and their Padawans. I want to see more of Windu and Pons hanging out, because we know about like Rex and Anakin and Cody and Obi-Wan, and we even see a lot of Wolf and Plo Koon. So I would just like more time with Pons and Windu, and I know that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
That makes me sad.
Oh, you definitely know it's not going to happen. You've seen the whole show.
Yeah, so, I mean, spoiler for next week. But, I mean, I kind of wish we got more stories of, like, other Jedis and their commanders. Like, I think it was, not Aurra Sing, Aya Sakura, her commander trooper, like, I ship them and I love them. So, I want that. Yeah. So, that's all I had for Act 1.
I'm ready for Act 2.
All right. Gosh, it's long. Why do I write so much, Chris?
You're getting used to it.
Yeah. And I see a lot of capital locks, so... Capital locks. Huh. Act 2. So Cassius is a real complainer, griping about the weather, the Gundarks, and it's hot and it's sticky, and everything is awful. Everything sucks when you work on this team. But we also see that the bounty hunters have captured Admiral Killian, Commander Pons, and another clone officer, and they want the Separatists to pay them. Cassius is like, ugh, we're going to have to work more now. And Boba is like, dude, shut up. You haven't done anything yet. Cassius tries to strangle Boba, and Aurra whips her blaster out at him. Like, you step away from my tiny baby, or my foot is going up your cast ass. The bounty hunters need proof of Windu's death for Count Dooku to pay them. They head back to the wreckage and leave Boss with the prisoners. R2's pacing around like, oh shit, what do I do? And he flies up to the bridge, and he finds Anakin and Mace hurt and under some rubble. At least they're not dead. So Anakin pulls out his best Sanford and Son impression of, oh, this is the big one, I'm coming, future dead Padme! And he tells R2 to go get to the fighters and call the Jedi Temple for help. R2 is like, well, time to put on my big droid panties and save the day. Before R2 leaves, he spots the bounty hunters heading their way. I left out the part that, hey, the bounty hunters arrive at the ship. And Boba almost gets crushed by the wreckage. And Aurra gives him the stank eye. Cassius is like, oh yes, be careful of me backstabbing you. That would be awful. And the bounty hunters try to navigate through the ship. Actual hero jerk R2 is like, nah, I'm just gonna try and kill you with this metal shard. No, that didn't work. Let's close a door in your face. You're still here? Then let's drop some shit on you. Boba and Cassius won't stop griping. Aurra does her best Scar from the Lion King impression, saying, I'm surrounded by idiots. As the bounty hunters are climbing up a tunnel, not kidding, the Netflix subtitles say that R2 sings happily as he drops a bunch of crates on the bounty hunters. When that doesn't deter them, R2 gets a freaking grenade from a dead clone and blasts the bounty hunters out of the tunnel. Cassius is like, fuck this noise, I'm out. Aura's like, you know, I'm tired of this too. Let's just blow the whole damn ship up. She tells Bosk to fire up the Slave One because they're going to shoot the shit out of the downed cruiser. Anakin gets outside of Anakin's Starcraft, but the Gundarks from before are still around. One leaps out of the shadows to attack! R2 is ready though. He shoots a suction cup to the creature's head, attaches the other end to the ship, turns on the ship, and with a loud boink, the creature flies away on the ship and crashes in a fiery explosion. But SpaghettiOs, the bounty hunters pick up the explosion. Aurra tells Bosk to jam all communications off the planet. R2 tries to Skype a friend, but it doesn't work, and he's like, well, okay then, I guess I literally have to take a ship and go get help. The bounty hunters see the ship like, zip plane, and they realize it's Windu's ship, because R2 just crashed Anakin's ship with a Gundark on it. And they chase after him into space. Boba has one shot because there are two hyperspace rings, and R2 will take one of them. He chooses the wrong ring, and R2 grabs the other one and zips away, and Boba gives a very dramatic teenage, no! Aurra has a new plan. They still have Killian and Pons as their hostages. They'll regroup and make Windu come to them. Meanwhile, back on the ship, Anakin and Mace are lying under rubble, and Anakin's like, so, you know any good jokes? And Mace is like, shut the hell up. So this episode is basically an R2 version of Home Alone.
Yeah, R2 does not fuck around at all.
No, he does not.
And I like that he, I don't know if he purposely, like, but the fact that he had Mace's ship was totally save Anakin and Mace's life, because they thought they were chasing Mace Windu. So they totally gave up on you know, thinking that he was in the ship. They thought he was flying away.
Yeah, that was actually very smart on the writer's part, because, you know, R2 probably would have went to Anakin's ship first, and he used it to kill a guy. That scene where he kills the Gundark by attaching it to the ship is hilarious.
There's two of those plink sound effects in this show, too.
Where he
fights the other Gundark, there's a little ding, and then little comedy sound effect in there. Man, Bossk just will not, Wet Blanket will not stop wet blanketing R2. Even when he's screwed and needs R2 for his life, he's still being a jerk.
Yeah, like, I didn't feel like writing all the every time that what Anakin would do was just like, your droid sucks, and Anakin's like, shut up, your droid sucks, shut up, your droid sucks, R2's gonna come. I didn't feel like writing all those in. Just know it happened a lot in the episode.
Yeah. Bossk is totally a Gorn from Star Trek. The Star Trek fans will know that. But even his hissy talk is totally, you know, give up, Captain Kirk.
I can't remember, but Bossk never talked in the original show movie, did he?
I think he, like, hissed one word or something. Or he might have just, like, I don't know if he, I think he had, like, one line or something like that.
Okay. But you can totally tell that it's Dee Bradley Baker voicing him, too.
Yeah, they're getting their money's worth out of that guy.
Aw, man. Wait till next episode. Next episode, they have, like, 5 or 6 actors playing double duty in it. I listed them all. More next week. But it will be, like, 30 minutes for us. But yeah, like, Windu is so mean to R2, and it must be so lonely being where he is. What was it that, like, a few weeks ago he said he needed a girlfriend, and it's just, like, this happy, peppy little girl, and she's just like, oh, sir, I'm River!
Yeah, little anime girlfriend.
Yeah, I dig that. He needs it. And if Jar Jar gets a girlfriend, Mace Windu can get a girlfriend. Get yeah, Windu right. A girlfriend! Hashtag 2016. I did that backward. You're supposed to say hashtag get Windu a girlfriend.
Yeah, I'd like to see his dating site account.
What would his like match.com be? It would be the grumpiest photo he can imagine. No. What it would be is Anakin would set it up for him, and like not tell him, and like all out of nowhere, like Windu's just getting all these calls, and so like
Anakin would set him up like he's Billy Dee Williams, you know, set up this whole profile that he's a swinger. Swaggering ladies man.
The other thing I was thinking is like not quite telling the truth, so just being like, I'm very serious about my work, but not put what's on there.
But right, I have a government job.
I'm a dark and handsome serious type, and it's like the most grumpiest picture that Anakin can find of him.
Very religious, got a government job.
I have an identical twin brother who's a Jedi, so if you see him in war movies or, like, TV promotions, that's not me. Yes, that's exactly what I would want out of my life.
That's Frank Windu, not Mace Windu.
Both of our names start with M. Mine is Mace Windu, and he's Mace Windu. Mace. What else did you have?
That's all I got for part two.
Alright, so I was wondering something, actually, about Windu as well. So when they actually crash, and, like, they fall into the rubble after the explosion and everything, Windu is lying face down, and then he fully turns over and lays on his back.
Yeah, you'd think he'd be able to get out at that point.
Yeah, so either his spine is split completely in half, and he's able to rotate his body, or he has plenty of room to move under there. I was just like, whoa, he flipped over!
He just wants an excuse to rest for a little while. Let the droid do the work.
He just wants a nap.
He's delegating.
Like, it's been a long day. I just want a nap. I have a nap. Something I like a lot about the season as a whole is seeing all the different bounty hunters. I mean, the season 2 tagline was Rise of the Bounty Hunters, and we started with Cad Bane, who was cold and ruthless. We got to see honorable bounty hunters like Sugi and Imbo saving the Fraggle Village. We see actual Evil Queen Aura Seeing, who may or may not have a soft spot for Boba. Cassius is a bit lazy, but he's driven by money. And then there's Boba, who's just straight up a teenager out for revenge. So I really like seeing all these different types of bounty hunters this season, their different methods, how they work alone and how they work together. And that's just like a really neat thing. It's not like there's just one bounty hunter. They all have their different personalities, their different methods, their different honor codes, their different systems. I mean, I really enjoy seeing all of them.
I agree. I like it being the theme of this season, too.
Yeah, because there's definitely a lot of them. I kind of thought back of it. I was like, man, Cad Bane was a long time ago. Like, he had a ton of different bounty hunters that we didn't even see come back for the end of the season. And Sugi and Imbo had their group, and, like, Aura has her crew. And they all have crews, and it's, like, really cool. So I really like that. And then my last note is... I have two ones. My serious note is I like Aura in charge of the bad guys. Outside of Ventress, there aren't a lot of mean women. And we get so much of, like, good, strong women, like Ahsoka and Satine and Padme and all of them. But men and women are not all good. You know, like, there's not just, like, good women and bad men and good men. Like, we have so many bad men on this show, so it's nice seeing a villain who's a woman. And because women aren't always good either. Women can be bitches. And women, too, need to be able to show their power and their strength and how it's not always used for good. And I really like having another villain woman, because it's actually been a hot minute since we've had Ventress. I can't remember the last time we've had Ventress. It's been a long time.
I know. She and Obi-Wan have to be missing each other.
Yeah, they are. Girl, when was it last time? And you get to use your special music now. And Ventress, I'm typing, even though I don't know if you can hear it. Asajj Ventress. When was the last time you were in the show? Hold for music and for loading the page. What picture did they use for her? Dude, I like her picture on the Wikipedia. She had a bitchin' haircut. I like that haircut. Let's talk about evil women while I look for this. But yeah, like, it's really refreshing having more, like, evil villain women, because, like, we don't always get that. Especially since, like, it's so easy I think it's so easy to make a man evil, because there's always, like, I'm the smart evil man bad guy. But it's not always easy to have... It was Cloak of Darkness! The Ahsoka Luminara Ventress episode.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
That was like mid-season one. So it's been more than a season since we've had Ventress. So like, I really enjoy having another bad lady there, because women are just as complex and just as conniving in a completely different way. And I love it. I love it. I love Aura Sing. She's actually an evil queen and I love her. So... Anything to say on that?
No. Nothing.
Do you like evil women?
I do.
Do you think same or more or less or differently than evil men?
Well, I'm trying to figure out how to actually like parse that question.
It was kind of a silly question.
Yeah.
Sorry. I think they just bring something different to the table.
I think I usually fall for the evil women before I actually know that they're evil women, but there's probably a component in me that does know. It knows.
It's probably your parts of you that knows.
Inner Yoda.
Yeah, the parts of you that actually like women.
Oh. And then my Yoda has a part that likes women.
Huh, does Yoda like men, too?
Does anybody even know what Yoda's gender is?
Well, he has to be a man, because there was another person on the council that was from his people, and, yeah. And it was a woman. Her name was like Yaggle or something.
That's right.
Yaddle. 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 Wander over yonder. I don't know. Anyway.
So in really, Yoda's species, they might be like frogs and just like, you know, she leaves an egg sack in the water and then Yoda just like waddles over to it and fertilizes it, and that's how little Yodas spring out, you know.
That is not a great image in my head.
Thank you.
And it was the waddling that was like weird, the weird part.
I'm just thinking of like the nature documentary style of it.
Oh, and there's a Yoda. He's watering over and oh, he's doing it! He's doing it! We're gonna have Yoda!
Splash,
and, like,
splash.
Anyway, yeah. My last little note that I had is that R2 can fly really well by himself. So I always thought it, I had a funny thought of like, what if Anakin's not actually a good pilot, it's just R2?
I thought about that when R2 was flying along the ship and stuff, and it's like, geez, he's pretty much like a human pilot, you know? Why do you even need the human pilots with R2 units on your ship? He's doing pretty good.
I know! Like, freaking, he's flying better than, like, a lot, like, the clones and the stormtroopers and the humans.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it was a little funny thing in my head. I was just like, huh, what if Anakin actually sucks?
He's probably learned from flying with Anakin so much.
That's true. Maybe it's just R2. R2 is secretly the best pilot in the Rebellion.
Yep, he's been coaching Luke and Anakin and Luke over the years.
Aw, that'd actually be really cute. Because then, like, he'd be like, can I taught your father, Luke? And Luke's just like, I don't understand R2 units. He's like, that's okay, son. That's okay. I'll just call you R2 Jr. And Luke's just like, you're just beeping at me, man. I don't even know anymore. And C-3PO is just like, oh no, I'm here. Oh, a spider. Anyway.
Act 3.
Yeah, because I feel our next episode that we're recording is much longer, so I already know I have more stuff. I'd rather get through this reading now. Yeah! Act 3! Ugh. Next week. R2 kicks in the door at the Jedi Temple and beats the shit out of another droid to get command of the room. Ahsoka is like, oh my god, R2! What's wrong, boy? Anakin and Windu are in the well? They see Anakin's message and Plo Koon's like, oh shit, time to go! They all the way back on the cruiser, things are on fire, and Windu and Anakin are about to die. Windu looks at Jango's helmet, lamenting about killing him. Anakin's like, dude, you killed the clone daddy. That's pretty metal, dude. And he explains that Boba Fett and why he wants revenge. And fire is everywhere now and things are exploding! And then the freaking wolf pack arrives with Commander Wolf, baby! I love Commander Wolf. Ahsoka and Plo Koon are there too. With the Jedi using the Force and the clones anchoring it down with cables holding the crumbling bridge steady, Commander Wolf gracefully leaps across the bridge with another clone named Comet, and they pull Windu and Anakin just in time as the bridge starts to fall. Commander Wolf and his friends, they jump back out to the rescue ship and they zoom away as the bridge falls and hits the exact place on the ship to make it explode in the ball of flames. In the aftermath, they all thank R2 for getting there in time. But Mace Windu, no nonsense, wet blanket lover, never smile Windu, calls over R2-D2, and he personally tells R2, good job. And R2 parties like it's Endor.
I know, and Anakin's all like, yeah, what about me? And keep calling him the Chosen One, they should call him the Entitled One. There will come an Entitled One.
Yes. But at least he did it jokingly. If he would have, like, actually whined, I would have been like, shut up, Anakin.
Exactly. All he had to do was lay there the whole episode, so whatever.
Yeah.
There was a nice Star Wars wipe in this part.
The PowerPoint presentation wipes.
I love them. You don't get that many of them in Clone Wars, but it's very Star Wars-y when it does happen.
I know. That was one thing I'm actually really glad they kept in with Force Awakens, was the PowerPoint Star Wars wipes. I'm really glad they kept those, because they look like like, well, Star Wars.
There was a scene where Mace Windu got a indeed in there that totally was Samuel L. Jackson.
Indeed.
The delivery, the line, and the animation of his face. They really got Samuel L. Jackson. It really worked well. Oh, I guess the only other thing is this had a lot of really great flying shots in it.
Yeah, it did. With all different kinds of ships too.
Yeah. The flying shots over landscapes and all around were just very exciting in this episode. They were very well carried out. Very Star Warsy.
Good job, guys. You know, I don't think I mentioned in the last ad, but I meant to say that I really like that scene where Windu gets Jango's helmet and just kind of looking it over. I really like that scene. I just realized I forgot to put it in my notes. Because, you know, I wonder, you know, Jedi aren't supposed to hold grudges and stuff like that, so I wonder if he ever actually, like, thought about Boba after that, or if he was just like, all right, back to work.
Yeah, probably not much. Yeah, he probably didn't, not much. They had a lot of stuff going on.
They do have a war to fight, that's true, yeah. But...
It was in the middle of a huge battle, and that was just one guy that got his head cut off.
But, I mean, there was Boba. Like, I more, like, wonder if he ever thought about, like, Boba, what happened to Boba, anything like that, or if he was just like, let's go fight this war. I think, like, Obi-Wan would have been like, what happened to that little boy, if it was Obi-Wan, but since it was Mace Windu, I think he was like, all right, well, what's next now?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I love the Wolf Pack. And I love Commander Wolf. I think they're so cool. I love their helmet designs and how strict and cool they are and how no-nonsense they are. And, like, whereas the 501st is made up of, like, oddballs and, like, individualists, the Wolf Pack, like, don't got time for that, right? They got shit to do. And, like, all joking aside, like, I wish we had way more missions with the Wolf Pack. Because I really like them a lot. I think they're so awesome. And I think, honestly, like, a big reason why I want this is I wish we get to see a mission with Rex and Wolf, and they can talk about, like, roles versus individuality, especially how, like, now that Rex has met, like, Cut McQuain. And I would have liked to see him have a conversation with someone who's, like, super... Like, I think Wolf is more serious than Cody, which is saying something. And I would have liked to see that, and it could have laid down the groundwork of how Rex saved Wolf after Order 66, because we know that Wolf is with Rex in Season 2 of Rebels, but we don't know how they got there, or what made Rex save Wolf and not other people.
Right.
I would have really wished, I wish I got to see that, and it didn't happen.
Start writing Marvel and asking for a Marvel Clone Wars Wolf Pack comic.
Oh, I still want a Rex comic. Rex is like my only exception to my, oh man, Maul's in everything right now. Well, Rex is in Rebels, and so Rex is my exception, because I can always have, actually, I want a Rex, like, now that I finished the Ahsoka novel, I now want a Rex novel of how he got from, like, point A to point B. Like, I really want that next. Like, that's what I want.
How he ended up fishing in the Rebels?
Yeah, and, like, how, like, Gregor lived. And, like, how they like, saved Gregor, and, like, how he got Wolf, and how they were looking for Jupas. Like, that's what I want. Really, 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 really bad. So, I that's my life. You know, we've had a lot of Anakin and Windu lately.
Yeah, we have.
Yeah, and, like, why I always love Obi-Wan and Anakin, it's nice to see Anakin spending time with somebody else. And I really like the Windu-Anakin dynamic. They're a lot of fun. It's kind of like a buddy cop or, like, a good cop, bad cop sort of thing. And so I really like their dynamic together. So it is nice to see, because they were together for the Zillow Beast and now all this. So it's a lot of fun.
Maybe because they got Dee Bradley Baker doing other voices, they were just like, I'd better not to have Obi-Wan in there.
Well, he's not the voice of Obi-Wan.
I thought he was Obi-Wan. Or he's all the clones,
no.
Too, right?
Yeah, he's all the clones, but James Arnold Taylor. Obi-Wan.
I don't know what I'm... Never mind.
But James Arnold Taylor's also the voice of Plo Koon, who was in this episode, so you were close.
That's true.
You were very, very close. Gold star.
Thank you.
And the only other note that I had for this episode... was It's a shallow note. It has nothing to do with the episode. Okay. So you know how a few episodes back I was saying I started talking about how I was watching the show Timeless, right? And how yes. Anakin's voice actor Matt Lantern was in it, right?
Yes.
And how I was hoping that they would drop a Star Wars joke in it.
Oh, they did it?
They dropped a Star Wars joke in it, and it was from Anakin. Like it was in the Watergate episode, and at one point, Matt Lantern looked at another guy, and he was like, you can't use your Jedi mind tricks on me. And I screamed. I screamed so loud in, like, sheer happiness, and I was just like,
I've been
yes!
waiting for that.
It was so satisfying because, like, I had already talked about how Sam Witwer was in Once Upon a Time, and I was really hoping they would make a Star Wars joke, and they didn't do it. And so, like, it was just super satisfying. I screamed. It was so good. Oh, yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Well, that's all I had for this episode. So, what do you think of the episode?
Score this sucker up?
Let's score this sucker up.
All right. Well, I really like this episode. It falls into my standard strong Clone Wars episode, but I'm giving it extra credit for, if it's gonna be a droid episode, I think the best possible droid to have in it is R2, and this pretty much pulls out all the best aspects of R2-D2. That we've ever seen and fits them very well into one episode. So I'm giving it an 8 out of 10.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not always the biggest fan of droid episodes, but I really like this one because it was pretty much just R2 being a dick the entire time with Boba Fett and his crew.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
And I actually forgot how much fun this episode was. Like, it's been a while since I've seen this, well, this week and next week, like, that two-parter. It's been a long time, and this episode's a lot of fun. And it's always a plus to see the Wolf Pack. I love those guys. I love Commander Wolf. And I always love it when they show up. Like, the moment that Plo Koon was there, I was like, Wolf Pack! So I gave it a little bit lower. I just gave it my standard, which is a 7 out of 10. But I really liked it. There just wasn't, like, you know, it's a good standard episode of Star Wars. It's not like last week where we had, like, deep character Boba Fett feels.
Yeah, no, this was just a very Star Wars. It looked and felt very Star Warsy, which I really always enjoy that.
Actually, my favorite scene, which I didn't mention, is the scene where Castus, Boba, and Aura are climbing up the tunnel, and the boys are just bitching. And Aura's just like, oh my god, I'm gonna put a blaster in one of your heads! And they're like, and Boba goes, but Aura! And he's like, shut up! She was like a mom, and I loved it so much. I didn't mention it, but I love that scene, so.
Bounty hunter mom.
And he's just like, me! Good, I will turn this ship around! Also, this week and next week, Bosk is just kind of chilling. He's just there. And I kind of like that. He's just like, I just imagine Bosk, like, listening over the comm, just, like, laughing at himself, just, like, laughing at
them. Yeah, Bosk is pretty much just kind of no-nonsense. He's just sort of, whatever, pay me.
Yeah, but I just like the idea of him, like, listening to Aura, like, bitching out the other guys, and he's just, like, looks at Commander Pons and Killian, and he's like, yeah, I should hear this right now. It's funny as shit. And they're like, please don't kill us. Anyway. So, as always, you can send feedback to us various multiple ways. You can either send it to us through our Twitter, which is @JGuysAndJedi. You can leave us feedback on iTunes, which is a really good way of doing it because we will read it on the show. And also, it helps people find the show. And we also have the Two True Freaks Facebook page. And this week, our feedback comes from our friends on the Facebook page, Aaron, Patrick, and Dario, for our episode, Duchess of Mandalore, on the Facebook page. So, take it away, Chris.
All right. Aaron says, kudos to Chris, that's me, on putting some Republic Commando themes for the opening stingers for the past two episodes. And those were that was during the Mandalorian arc. And I used, those were Mandalorian war songs. I try to make whatever kind of musical intro is at the very beginning of our show somehow reflect something that happens in the show, so... You know, sometimes it'll be easy to figure out, sometimes next to impossible, but, yep, you could almost always find a connection.
There was one that you had. It was very early on in season two. Maybe it was even season one, but, like, it was just this, like, happy, like, kid song. And it was like, everybody's dead! And I was like, oh my god. Chris.
Those are my
favorites, when you just get, like, these episodes that are just, like... Like, you put some jazz song about murder for Senate murders. I like when you do stuff like that.
Oh, that was, oh, what was his name? Chaka Demus or something like that. That was a reggae guy. That was a late 80s, early 90s hit. Okay, Patrick Delmore says, thanks for reading my comment on the air. Hey, no problem. Now we're reading another comment on the air.
Yeah.
First one on a non-Andrew Leyland hosted show. Oh, geez. Well, welcome to America now. I marathon Clone Wars and Rebels because of this show. Yes. Good. That's what you need to do. And then you asked him if he liked Clone Wars and Rebels, and he said, yes, the only weak spot was the first season of Rebels. Also agree that the four-part droids and the tiny general story from Clone Wars was garbage.
Yes, it is! And that's coming up.
That's in a future season, right?
Yeah, that's season four. It's my least favorite arc. I hate it. The only saving grace is the fact that we meet Gregor. That is the only good part of that fucking arc. Only good part. It's so terrible. Ugh.
And then
Patrick,
Dario...
I love you. Thank you.
Dario Gonzalez was excited because there was a Garage Number 9 shout-out to Boot.
I don't know what that means.
That's the garage where we go and eat food when I go to visit Dario in New York City.
Oh, okay. I'm back with this now.
There's a big, it's literally garage number 9. It has a big 9 on it. It's the 9th garage. So there's several more garage number 9s. And I was, and I don't know why this got added on there, but I replied to it that I was pissed that I was broke because, probably one of the few women that I would marry, no questions asked, Anne Magnuson was playing at the Museum of Modern Art for $12. From the wonderful band Bongwater, the TV show Anything But Love, from the movie Tank Girl. Oh, she's just hilarious and an amazing musician, singer.
Aww,
and if I had the money, I would have gone to New York and visited Dario just to see that.
You would have went to visit Dario with the sing and would have been, you know, icing on the cake.
I would have been bringing her back to their apartment after the wedding, after the show, the hurried Justice of the Peace wedding, kicked open the door, carried it across the threshold.
See, I just imagine, like, you, like, I mean, like, getting a call from Scott Garner, and he's like, guys, Chris was arrested. Apparently, he threw a knapsack, like, over this Anne girl, and...
No.
Kidnapped her.
No. She would come willingly.
That's a little creepy, Chris. She would come
I've been
willingly.
Splashed with her sweat before, so that's another story for another time, though.
Oh. All right. Well, I don't have anything else, so how can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at tutrufreaks.com, where we keep all our millions and billions of podcasts. This was news to me, too. We got a new book podcast.
I know!
What was the name of it?
If you give me 2 seconds, I'll find it. It was Required Reading,
yes.
And, with Tom and Stella.
Tom Paris and Stella.
And, yeah, I didn't even know that we had a new book podcast, and I was just like, what?
Well, now we do. We're adding them so fast, we don't even know that they show up. I was like, I never heard about that, and I'm like, I'm 10,000% behind it, so new problem.
Yeah, like, they even have, like, fancy Tets type on their on the page. Like, they're fancy.
Oh my god. Reading's good. I encourage it.
I can't wait to listen to it. I already downloaded it, but I haven't had a chance to. I'm trying to get through our Zilla Beast episodes right now, which is taking a while because it was like forever.
It's a jumbo-sized one, that's for sure.
Zilla Beast. It is.
As is all of Two True Freaks, and we're on Facebook. We've got the Two True Freaks page. We got the Two True Freaks Cantina. Scott Gardner just made the Two True Freaks sound movie score appreciation page. There's a Back to the Bins page. There's a No Consoles for Old Men page. Everybody, all sorts of podcasts have a page. I think there's an Is It Jaws page. There's a Trentus Magnus Punches Reality page. They're all on there.
Maybe I should make a Jagos and Jedi page. I don't know.
It's just one more thing. I don't know if we need one. I like putting our stuff up on the Two True Freaks page.
That's how I feel too. It has it all in one place. No, just be like one more extra place for me to go find comments from.
Yeah, and there's some that generate a lot like that. Like I did one for Garage Sale Gloat because it sort of like begs its own page, you know, something to put pictures up on. And it's something people are going to be putting stuff up on, not when an episode comes out, just randomly. So it makes sense to put it all in one place. And Back to the Bins sort of fits that because it has a lot of comic talk in there and that may not even be, you know, related directly to the show. So it sort of works on its own. Every show does not have... We'd have a lot of Facebook pages if every show had its Facebook page, but...
Yeah.
So some of them sort of... can use an extra page. So yeah, come out, check out our Facebook world. It's fun, and join up on our Facebook pages and make your news feed exciting. Get some of the politics off your news feed and get some nerd stuff on there.
Yes, we need more nerd stuff. Nerd love, that's all you need.
And what about you? You're on the internets too.
No, I'm not. It's a lie. It's a lie. No, I am. I run our Facebook page. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm kind of just... My mind is everywhere right tonight. I think I'm just a little burned out because I know I'm about to go into retail holiday hell.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm already burned out. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. Anyway, you can find me at JGuysAndJedi. I run our Twitter page. You can also find me at Hope Malnex, where I live tweet shows like... Oh, like Timeless and Once Upon a Time. Though I do, over on Jay Guys and Jedi, I do live tweet Star Wars Rebels. That's always fun. And I've been real... I keep getting mad because I keep forgetting that they skipped a couple weeks. So I keep rushing home after work to find it not there. And I'm just like, son of a bitch! But yeah. I'm not sure how I'm going to feel about next week's episode where we are like, hey, let's bring in some brand new characters. And I'm just like, I don't care.
Not yet, you don't. You might.
Yeah, no.
We'll see.
Yeah, they might be really cool. So I just at this point I'm just like, I want more stuff. This season of Rebels is kind of, I like it, but it's not what I thought it was, and I think that's why I like it because I thought it was gonna go in a different direction. But anyway, you can also find me at What the Fangirl. I'm the news beat writer for WhatTheFangirl.com. Yeah.
And you're writing crazy, trashing Darth Maul.
Yeah, I do. I write what other people will not write. The truth. Not really, no. I just write my opinions. If you like Darth Maul and you're excited, cool, man. More power to you. You be twice as excited for me, and I'll be not as excited twice for you. That's excellent. What I usually tell people. If people like it, cool. I don't like it. You like it for me, I'll dislike it for you. Yeah!
And then balance is restored to the universe.
Not really.
Alright, well, come back next week. We got one more episode of season 2, and then season 2 is all done. And then you get our big Christmas season of Hope and I watching the prequels.
And I'm so excited!
I know, it's going to be fun to put... Clone Wars spin on all of them. I'm sure that's what's going to happen when we're talking about them while we watch them.
I'm so excited. Like, awesome. And then after we do that in the holiday special, we're going to do our season 2 recap. So yep. We're taking a tiny break from season 2, doing the holidays, coming back, and then at the beginning of the year, we're jumping into season 3 with two of my favorite episodes! Cause guess why? Because they got clones! That's
yeah,
right.
And pretty soon I'll be going into uncharted Clone Wars territory for me, so that'll be really cool.
You still got about 2 more seasons.
I only made it through season 3, I think. I don't even know if I made it through season... No, I did make it through season 3. I made it into season 4.
I'm pretty sure you saw Umbara, because we've talked about Umbara.
Yeah, I think I made it actually into season 4. So never mind everybody, I'm just talking out my butthole.
A season and a half, and we'll be in uncharted territory for Kreas.
Yeah.
We're going to be like Lewis and Clark, but nerds.
I know. We're coming up on episode 52, which will be 1 year of Jay Guys and Jedi.
Oh man, so like you're gonna be like Lewis and Clark when we get to season 5, and I'm gonna be like Sacagawea, and I'm just gonna be like, God, Chris, don't go down that river. We gotta go down this river. I just like the long, awkward silence after that. Thanks, guys. See you next week.
We'll cross that river when we get to it, Sacagawea.
Ah!
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2 True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2 True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2 True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email 2 True Freaks directly at 2TrueFreaks@gmail.com.
2 True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search 2 True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find 2 True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for 2 True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about 2 True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
2 True Freaks.
Two True Freaks has been brought to you today by Damanzo Core of Milan, Italy, and by the letters F and U.